Ask the Podcast Coach for May 9th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
All right, it's time for another Saturday morning of Ask the Podcast Coach. This may be really weird for you because this is me giving the intro and not Dave Jackson. Dave is out, like he likes to say when I'm gone. Dave is out on assignment, and it's just me, Jim Collison, your host today, broadcasting live out of the AverageGuy.tv studios this morning. I'm kind of running the show. Surprisingly, we got it done. So I think we're up and on the air and everything's working here. And then sitting across from me is the guy that I use all the time when I need help around podcasting, Mike Howard. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Beautiful morning here in Atlanta.
Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful day here in Nebraska, but we are expecting some, storms this afternoon, and it could get a little ugly on us. So we had one of the areas not far from here, 6 inches of rain in an evening, and it just flooded the place out. So, well, we're here to talk podcasting, all things podcasting. If you want to join us with the call in, you can call that in. And Dave was kind enough to send me over all the music stuff. So we got to throw that in as well. If you want to give us a phone call through Skype, whatever, 347-850-8007 is that number. Give us a call. Blog Talk Radio is waiting for your phone calls. And so we'd like to have you call in. Oops, see, there's the...
I forgot to remind
the thing. Yeah, or you got to stop it, right? Otherwise, the music keeps playing. Mike, long time. I mean, I think you've listened to Ask the Podcast Coach since we started this. I mean, I think you were out there with me as we kind of birthed this thing. For those of you who don't know the story, Dave was just messing around with trying live. Mike, you and I have always been live guys. That's kind of just the way we started, right? When we did it, Dave was messing around with it. And so we jumped in. You're out there every week, but let's talk a little bit about your podcast, JPEG to RAW for photographers. Kind of give us an idea of what you do.
Yeah. So Jim, we started live. I've never done a single show not live for JPEG to RAW. JPEG to RAW is a photography show. Like you said, we mix guests. We sometimes have guests come in. Sometimes it's just me and the host. We talk about photography-related stuff. We talk about everything from, children photography, wedding photography, to boudoir photography, which Jim really liked that show.
It wasn't bad. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't bad.
And we do all of ours live. We do stream through live YouTube Live, embedded on our site, like Dave has here with Chatwing as our chat room. And we use, I don't think y'all use this, we use vMix, which is a video switching software. I've used XSplit, Wirecast, and now we're on vMix. And I like it by far the most. And that gives us, the reason we use that is because I want to do picture-in-picture slideshows and different things like that, and it gives us the power to do that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit more as we dig in some, because we don't that's kind of advanced podcasting, I think. When we talk about the video, it gets fairly complex as soon as you start, we do Google Plus. So the video piece here is pretty easy that we're doing because we're just taking advantage of Google Plus, but the vMix component moves it up a little bit. So talk a little bit about your evolution so we'll call this kind of going beyond Google Plus, right? You were doing this. And then because it's a photography podcast, you wanted to show pictures, and that's always not as easy to do in a hangout. I mean, you can get it done. There's ways of doing it, but you wanted to kind of amp it up a little bit. So talk a little bit about your evolution to get where you're at today.
Yeah, you definitely don't have to do what I'm doing. I wanted to be able to show photos in a slideshow type format that were there as either something we would talk about, an individual photo, or having as a slideshow playing through as we talked about whatever, just general talking. And I also wanted to be able to do picture-in-picture where we'd have a photo slideshow going on with our thumbnails on the screen at the same time. We used Google Plus for a while, but the problem is you can't change where the little thumbnails are, and every time I'd move my mouse over across top of that screen, the little header would drop down. So we started off with XSplit. XSplit is cheap. I think it's like $65 a year or every 2 years, something like that. Really nice and simple, but it doesn't do everything you want to do. It doesn't do everything you want to do. So we moved to Wirecast, and that is a much more advanced software, and it's much more expensive. It's $495, I believe, for that one-time fee, and then every upgrade you got to pay for. And it was really good, except for it's hard. When you start doing this kind of stuff, it is hard on the CPU, you know, because you're recording locally, which I like to record local, and you are streaming. And when you're streaming, you know, you're streaming an H.264, and that can get really, really hard on the CPU. So I was running somewhere between 70 and 80% on my Core i7 CPU, and you start having video audio sync issues. So we switched over to vMix, which allows for most of that compression to happen on the video card, and it's night and day. You know, same. Actually, we're running at we're recording at 1080p, so we're recording a higher quality than we were with Wirecast. But vMix is only running around 25 to 30% CPU, so it's just really smooth, and gives you the option to, you know, click in and out of different shots. You can have almost unlimited shots that you want to pull up. The one downside, I tell you, Jim, is that as I'm talking to the guests, I'm talking to you, and I'm trying to do live production, and then I'm trying to watch chat to work that into the conversation, I can't do all three very well. And I often will mess up, and the chat will throw me. So I'm going to ask a great question I want to interject into the show, and it's totally thrown me off as I try and work that in. So one of the things I'm going to try in the future is to have my co-host, who is generally just taking down notes, is have him work those questions into the show and me pay less attention to the chat. I'm not capable of doing all three at the same time.
Yeah, you know, Mike, it's actually the way we do it at Gallup. So while I'm the host, my job is to really get the show started and then monitor the chat room for my co-host, who's really going to do the interview. So I open it, get everything going. I'm kind of there to make sure the technology works, to be honest with you. But the added benefit is we get two voices on there as opposed to one. And then I turn it over to my co-host, and he does the full interview. I'm monitoring the chat room, making sure everybody's in there and not having problems getting connected. By the way, getting connected was a problem for Dave's site this morning. So if you're listening live either on Spreaker or on the YouTube channel, head over to the chat room, chatwing.com/School of Podcasting. That's where the chat room is. A little difficult to get to that this morning. We got to get Dave's site fixed with some of his database backup. He's just been doing this so long. I think his back-end database has just gotten kind of wonky, and it's time to clean that up, export everything out, re-import it in on a fresh database, and call it good. But Mike, so for us, that works really well to have that co-host. That's the model that we use, to have that co-host be kind of the ringleader.
Yeah.
You know, somebody watching chat, somebody making sure. Because, you know, it's hard sometimes. One of the big mistakes you make is you get so involved in what you're doing with chat and everything else. The guest is talking. They say something. You end up asking the very next thing you say. You ask a question about what they just said, you know. And you don't know it. And you don't hear it until after you go back and listen, you know, to the show again, which can be a real problem.
That is a fear of mine. You know, if you're watching a morning talk show or something on TV, you've probably seen a host do that before, where they ask a question. You go, "You idiot! They just said that. Why are you asking that again?" And so, as a listener, or maybe even as the guest, if you do that to them, that's what they're thinking. What are you talking about? I just said that. And my fear is that I'm going to do that because I'm so distracted. And that is one of the disadvantages to doing something like a vMix. Is that it does add some complexity to it. And, yeah. And the thing that I would say is you don't want to be trying new things show night. You want to be with something like vMix, Wirecast, VidBlaster, or even XSplit. You want to be doing all your testing way, way beforehand and then have everything set up and ready to go for show night.
Yeah, let me just say quick, Nick's Suberling in chat had said he'd used that before XSplit. I think he said XSplit. And it just got too complicated, and a hangout on air was just fine.
Right. Yeah, this is, you know, this definitely isn't needed for a lot of people.
Hey, real quick, we got a caller. So we haven't done this yet. This is the first time I've done this testing. Later in the show, I'll talk about it. I do it completely different than Dave does, but we'll turn him on here. And we'll say number ending in 6155. You're on Ask the Podcast Coach. Tell us who you are and your question.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Nick Suberling.
Hey, speaking of Nick, how's it going, Nick?
I'm doing all right. How about you guys?
Yeah, we're doing okay. We still have the same latency issues that we have with when we're doing this on Dave's equipment. So things are about a second behind. But thanks for calling in. It's kind of weird taking the call when normally Dave does it.
Well, hey, there's the first time for everything, right? Here on Ask the Podcast Coach.
You bet. Thanks for calling in. You got a question for us? Comment?
I do. Last week I was able to broadcast my podcast Inside the Jungle. Last week was the NFL draft. And so we did our very first live remote broadcast of our show. And we were on location. And I opened up a brand new Mackie 1402 VLZ form audio mixer the night of the show, about 2 hours before we were set to go live. And so this is the first time using this equipment. I have an 802 Mackie mixer, but this is the first time moving up to a much larger mixer with more inputs. And so I borrowed 4 ATR 2100 microphones from another podcaster friend of mine. And when I plugged them into the mixer, I could not get any audio from them unless I had these solo buttons pressed in on the Mackie mixer. Now, I don't know if you have any experience with that mixer, but could you maybe possibly explain why I was unable to get any audio from those ATRs?
Mike, you've got the Mackie mixer there. That's your mixer of choice. No, yeah. but still same brand.
Yeah, on mine, I have the ProFX 8, and I'm looking at mine to see if I have the solo press, and I don't have the solo pressed.
So, and do they have Nick? Does that have groups on that Mackie mixer? It's not possible that a group thing got turned on and everything got turned down for that particular group? And so, when you hit solo, of course, that isolates the channel. Is that something like that possible?
It's possible. Again, I opened it fresh out of the box, and I was messing with some of the buttons based on just kind of memory from my 802 mixer. I thought maybe it had something to do with the phantom power, but that didn't seem to help the issue either. In the end, in the grand scheme of things, I was able to at least broadcast with the solo buttons pressed in, but it also meant that I couldn't bring in my guest audio for whatever reason. It was a struggle that night, but it was just odd. I plugged in these 4 ATRs and I got nothing. And I guess I was expecting to get audio from these things. It's the first time I've used ATR 2100s as well. So maybe there was something I missed on the actual mic itself. I made sure that they were on. I did flip the on switch on those microphones. But I just thought it was odd that I got absolutely nothing from them unless I pressed the solo button in.
Yeah, no, that is odd. It shouldn't work that way. You know, the 2100s are a pretty basic mic. They don't need phantom power. Although if you have it turned on, it's not the end of the world. It'll work just fine with phantom power on. That's been my experience. The real audio guys will probably say, no, don't have that turned on for sure. But it you don't need it from that standpoint. And then it does speak to a good point of, you know, don't give yourself, and I'm not chastising you, Nick, but don't give yourself 2 hours on a live setup with a new piece of equipment, right? Because you can run into
those. Oh, yeah, for sure. I totally agree. That was a rookie mistake on my part.
Well, and I would have done it too, to be honest with you. I've done stuff like that where I'm in a pinch for time and I need equipment. I just buy it and I'm thinking, okay, how hard can this be? Well, that mixer is fairly complicated. You got buttons everywhere. And you know, even were you running it USB in to be recorded? Was that how you were getting the sound in?
No. I don't even think this has USB capabilities on this mixer.
Okay. Yeah. So you know, it's got a bunch of stuff. How many channels is on that again?
14.
14.
Six microphone XLR inputs.
Six XLRs. Okay. Yeah. And so chances are you could have, you know, what I found in every new mixer that I've gotten my hands on, there are always a couple switches that are like, okay, send this to the mains or send this to the monitor or send this to the USB. And if you don't get those pressed, sometimes then that main mix, any of it, will not go where it's intended to go. And those buttons are sometimes, you know, buried deep in the board somewhere or, you know, where it doesn't always make sense for them to be on. I know I have the Multimix 8 and it's got 3 of those buttons, you know, mix to main, mix to monitors, mix to USB. And if I don't have those selected, if they're not pushed down, I won't get anything. Now, the solo could be, and I don't know. We'll see. Maybe somebody in chat will jump in here, but that solo sometimes overrides, you know, the channel so that you can hear it. It's intended for the audio producer to be able to hear that channel all by itself, right? That's kind of the purpose of that solo button. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's hard without knowing that board. It's hard to know, but it's one of those things. Are you going to keep it? Is that something you're going to hold on to?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The main reason I got it is because it has two mixed minuses. So now I can actually bring in an additional laptop and use the second mix minus and have the two computers kind of that way. If I host a hangout on air on one computer and then have my Skype callers, I could bring them in on a separate audio channel on a laptop, and now I can have the two kind of communicate without having any issues. So I'm definitely keeping it. Really, do I need six XLR inputs for just me in the studio? No, but it's helpful having the additional mix minus.
Yeah, and Nick, what was the retail on that? What'd you pay for it?
$399.
Okay, so not terrible from that standpoint. I think anything under $500 for a mixer. Mike, I didn't let you talk. Anything else on that? You're a Mackie guy. Anything that I missed?
No, I was just looking at my board. I actually don't even have a solo button, so I've not experienced that. I do know that on my board, at least, the ATR 2100 requires a lot of gain. And so much gain that I was getting static from the board, and got a DBX 166XS gate limiter to provide cleaner gain plus some other things, because that the ATR just needed so much gain.
Yeah, Nick, I think that's one thing. We recommend these 2100s to everybody, but they are gain hungry. So whatever you're going to use, you're going to have to crank that gain way up to get it, to Mike's point. And then Joe in chat said he's been using the Mackie 1402 for about 2 years, and he's yet to figure out how to get sound without the solo button pressed. So that maybe
I've got it figured out here in studio, but I'm not using ATR 2100s. When I plugged in my Sennheiser E835 mic, it seemed to be just fine. Also, you know, there was a couple other buttons that I had pressed that I didn't need to have pressed, but I don't know if that really had anything to do with it, but I could be wrong. But yeah, once I got back in studio, back home, the mixer seemed to be cooperating with me, and I'm able to talk to you right now. I'm actually on my microphone calling via Skype, and I'm able to talk without the solo buttons pressed in, thankfully. So appreciate you guys taking my call. I'm going to enjoy the rest of this hour.
Thanks, Nick. Great having you on. Well, speaking of guests, Smiling Dave Jackson has joined us from some stairwell somewhere. Dave, how are you?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm. It's very bizarre. I'm at Stark State University for WordCamp North Canton, and this is where I graduated with my electronics degree. So, I just attended a Facebook ad session in my old psychology room. So it's been very interesting.
That's gonna be a little odd.
It is very odd. It's a lot of flashbacks, but good stuff. I attended Dustin Hartzler's session on podcasting, which was very nice of him, because at the end he mentioned me as a resource. So it was kind of fun, but. I meant to send you a link. I don't know if I can do this on my iPhone. It's heavily rumored now, according to a article that I read yesterday, Spotify is getting into podcasting. It's not official, but there was an article on SoundCloud saying how SoundCloud had come out of beta, blah, blah, blah. And it said, as other companies are getting into podcasting, like blah, 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 and Spotify. And I went, I've heard that rumored, but that was the first time that really made it look like that was a fact that they're on their way in. And I was like, So.
Yeah. No, it's good. I think that's a good, it's good to have them maybe jumping on board with us.
Yeah. So.
Did you just get done teaching or doing your session, or what's the deal?
I'm on break right now for the next about 8 minutes, and I thought I would pop in and be on this side of the fence for a change.
Yeah, how does it feel? Well, Mike and I, as we were talking about this earlier, sometimes it's hard for the host to give up their show. This is the first time we've done this where I've got complete control. By the way, set everything up, no mix minuses in any of this. So I was able to figure out a way to do it. We'll have to talk about that maybe a little bit later in the show. But how does it feel to give up your show? I mean, this is a common podcaster problem.
It was weird. 10:30 rolled around, and I was like, wow, this is you know, they're starting without me. But on the other hand, this is kind of a testament to you. You know, it's like, you know, I know my baby's in good hands, and I knew you're bringing on Mike. I'm like, all right, this is cool. And you know, in the end, you I'm here to, you know, we're here to serve our audience and to provide that service and to, you know, be there for the community. And I was like, well, you know, we just missed a week not too long ago with NMX, and I'm like, you know what, let's, and you know me, I love to experiment, so let's try a week without me, and you know, maybe it'll be better.
Well, I doubt that. Do you? It has been fun, though. I'm not going to lie. One of my favorite things to do is to do this. I love having the music at my fingertips, right? 347-850-8007, right? If you're going to call in. We had Nick call in a little bit earlier, so that was fun. Now I have to remember to shut that off so that it doesn't.
Well, I was going to ask you. I was going to actually hang up and call in. I was like, maybe we should experience that as well.
It seems to be working, which is to me the crazy part of all this is as I got started with it last night, and I'm thinking, okay, I need to make this work. And actually, I spilled some water on my mixer on Thursday night or Wednesday night right before a show. It's gone, so I had to go out and get a whole new. I'm using a USB audio interface to make this work. So I called Mike Howard. I talk about this on the show all the time. I called Mike last night. Hey, we got to test this thing. I mean, nothing like waiting till the last hour. So I was up till midnight testing it, and I learned some interesting things about it. I'm kind of glad in some ways it happened because you get. You know, now I have some new experience with an audio interface as opposed to using a mixer.
Jim, is Sarah, your wife, bringing you all your drinks and sippy cups?
Yeah, everything now has to have a lid. So,
nice. Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't drink around. You shouldn't drink around your equipment. So, Dave, what equipment are you calling in on? Because the audio is actually not bad. I mean, it's roomy, but what are you calling in on?
We're using, you know, this is it, you know, I got my earbuds plugged in. I'm streaming via Wi-Fi. There's a serious delay between your voice and the actual video that I'm looking at, but this is just my iPad. That's it. Just, okay. Thought I would connect and see what's going on, but you know, if I wanted to, you know, that's a really good shot, but that's the campus behind me. And I was trying to find a quiet place, and all their classrooms that we're not using today are locked and their sessions going on. I basically left this session a little early, and I'm basically in a stairwell, and of course being Saturday there's no students here, so I thought, well, it'll be a little boomy, but you know, place to sit down at least.
No, actually the sound's tolerable. I mean, I wouldn't want to host it this way. Right. It is interesting, we're getting really good sound from you, and the latency isn't bad at all. The audio is a little shaky, but Mike, I mean, from your end, the audio is pretty good, right?
Absolutely. I don't hear much breaking up in the audio at all, and I can understand them, you know, completely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought of it today, though. I'm assuming you're recording this as an audio file as well.
Somewhere. Well, So I'll have I'm recording on YouTube as well as on Spreaker. So I'll have both for you as we get to that. So.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that'll be great. So awesome. Well, I will. I don't want to. I got to run anyway. There's another session coming, but I just wanted to pop in just to see if I could.
Yeah.
You know, and I've never done this on an iPad. And carry on, gentlemen. And I will see you next week.
We haven't driven this thing into the ground yet, so thanks for letting me have control of the steering wheel, Dad.
How do I get out of this thing? Can you kick me out?
Let's see. Wait, I think you just hit the hang up.
Here we go. Here's the hang up button. I got one.
Bye, Dave. Right.
Goodbye,
thanks
gentlemen.
For calling in. No, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's just, it still amazes me. I was talking to some junior hires yesterday, you know, Mike, when we were kids, like, we dreamt of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, of video conferencing all over the world. I do these with Gallup. I do these in India and in Singapore and Australia and Berlin and in London. And here we have Dave out remote coming in on Wi-Fi off his iPad. Not bad. Not a bad connection, you know?
I remember back in I think it was the 80s, whenever there was a Sharper Image catalog that had your house phone with a little bitty screen on it, and thinking, oh, that is going to be so cool the day whenever you can, you know, make a phone call and be able to see the other person, and how far things have come now. that we can do things like that. Yep.
Yeah. So anything you want to finish before Dave jumped in? We were talking about video.
Yeah, I think we kind of covered the vMix thing. It's definitely not for everybody. And I would just say, if you're going to use something like that, if you're looking at them, vMix has a 60-day trial, free trial, fully functional, everything. Wirecast has one. BitBlaster has one. The two of those do have some limitations or some things they put over top of the video. So before you make the purchase, you know, give it a try. So that was really all I had to say there. If anybody has any questions and want to discuss vMix or anything like that.
Well, two really hard – what we just talked about are two of the hardest parts of podcasting probably, if you're going to think about this. One is when you introduce video, it gets much more complex. And then two, when you introduce mixers and audio interfaces, I mean, if you're going to take an ATR2100 direct – connect it via USB to your computer. Super simple. We do that all the time. Anytime you add any other additional equipment in, it's going to get pretty complex pretty fast. And you and I spend a lot of time testing when we do that.
It does, you know, it does get complicated, and I take it maybe sometimes to levels that I don't need to. But on top of the video, I actually have three computers involved in my production. Two of them are really just, as far as the show goes, really just Skype computers. That's really all they're used for. And then the one broadcast server. But if you want to have more in-depth conversation about that, you know, that we can't have here on the show, and even have me show you some stuff, you know, feel free to email me at podcast@jpedraw.com, or, you know, connect with me on Facebook or something like that.
Yeah, Mike, you're always super helpful for me. I mention you all the time when we are here on the show because you're kind of my podcast accountability partner. We actually learn a lot from each other. I started on video, kind of got you going, and then you just blew past me from a technology standpoint. I have not followed you in that. But we've upgraded our equipment together. We share a lot of, hey, I just tried this, right? You should try this too. So I always appreciate that.
Well, there's no one model that works for everybody. You know, what you're doing works for you, and what you're doing will probably work for me too. I like the geeky side of that. So, you know, podcasting serves multiple things for me. It serves – gives me a chance to talk about photography because I love talking about photography. I love meeting the guest and meeting new people that I wouldn't have an opportunity really to meet if it wasn't for the podcasting. And then I love the technical side of that too and working through the problems and that kind of stuff. So if you want to talk more about that, you know, let me know. I did want to talk, if you want to, about guest.
Yeah, you know, let's do it.
One thing we were talking about this in the past is that, you know, sometimes – or for me, I'll just speak for me. It doesn't necessarily come with anybody else. Is that you get some guests on the show that you feel completely relaxed with, and some of it is them, some of it is me, and what my feelings are that night. Feel completely relaxed with, and you end up having a good conversation. It seems more natural. And then there's other guests that you may be either you're off, or you may feel a little intimidated by this guest, and I feel it personally. Not so much during the show and during the talk about whatever the interview process, let's say. But I feel it really the most at the beginning and the end when I'm doing my little intro, and I don't do a big intro. And then the exit, where I put more stuff at the exit, where I'm talking about how to, you know, subscribe and join our Facebook group and all those kind of things. And in the back of my mind with some guests, I have this clock going on that they may not be feeling this way, but I feel this way that I need to get through this stuff because they're bored, or they're wondering, why is my wasting my time with this section? And that's more me than them. But do you ever have that feeling where you feel a little off or a little intimidated with
different guests? Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I get some on there, and I feel like I'm not my best. Like you mentioned, I might feel like, ooh, I could, you know, you're reading their body language. They're already bored, or they're like, man, how did I get stuck doing this? Why did I say yes to this? You know, kind of deal. And then I feel like I start in baseball. They say short hopping it, right? Which is I don't do as well, and I get intimidated. I don't ask the harder questions that I should ask. Oftentimes I'll start ignoring the chat room, right? So normally when I'm like you and I are talking, I know that if something happens to me and I can't talk for a few minutes, I know you can fill the space, right? You'll recognize, ooh, I should fill this in, right? Kind of deal. You're good at this from that standpoint. But you know, with some of those guests, you know, if you're not asking questions every second, you're carrying that interview. Because if you stop talking, it's going to be dead air, you know, for minutes. And so you're like, so you ignore the chat room, and I don't feel – so that's one of those things I'm still working on, like how to set it up when I have the more important or the more famous or whatever, just me being intimidated by him, where it's like, how do I continue to still be me without, you know, because people listen because it's me, right? I mean, they're coming to hear you. That's why they come. So that's been tough for me too, for sure.
That's something. The other thing I've found with guests, and in my show, we're probably about 80% guests that we have. So people listening know, is I sometimes have a preconceived notion of the guest, thinking that this person is not going to be very interesting. And it typically happens as the show gotten more popular, we have people contact us and want to come on the show. And you've heard that story. I don't want to be part of a group that wants me in their group. Or however that goes. I don't want to join a club that wants to have me as a member. So I have that feeling once whoever wants to come on my show who's contacted me, not sure I want them as a guest. And
right.
And yeah, I
know where you're going with this, right? If they're contacting you,
yes.
you're like, I want this to be hard to get this guest, right? I want to work for it. Otherwise, this could just be a disaster.
And it could just be blind luck for me so far. But every single one that I've then had on the show, I've been after the fact going, wow, I don't know what my problem was. This really turned out well. This is a really good guest. So trying to, be a little more open to that and letting those guys come on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's having guests, if you're going to do it that way. And, you know, I know there's solo podcasters that do it without guests, and that works fine too. But that guest component's tough, and especially like we do tech industry guests, and I oftentimes will invite them without even hearing them. And so you're taking a risk. Like you're like, well, are they going to come on with some equipment? I've been surprised. I've had some guests on where I've had them on multiple times, and each time their audio has gotten worse, not better. And I kind of want to say, you know, I want to keep having you on the show. Could you just go buy a microphone? You know, because it's worth the $50 for once a quarter for you to represent your company well. You might just want to have a microphone. Now, you hate that. That sounds pretty, you know, that sounds kind of diva-ish, right? From that standpoint. So it's, it's the trick to getting guests. And I found for me recently is I get about half my guests from Twitter and from news. And so I target small startups that you know, are interesting or have niche products or gadgets around, you know, the home and stuff. And I'll shoot them a note on Twitter. Will you come on the show? And, you know, I send a link. And I almost never beg, and I don't hunt. So if they don't respond back to me, chances are I'm just not going to, you know, I'm not going to go after them again, you know, unless I really want to. And I don't think I have. But through Twitter. And then, like this week, Mike, I've been at a couple conferences, and I've run into some really interesting people. And I had some new cards made up for the podcast. And I would say, hey, you know, I'm a podcaster. I'd love to have you on. Would you be interested in coming on the show and talking about what you do? And they almost always say yes at that point. Give them the card. Then we connect afterwards and get them on. So I've had a couple guests coming on just from folks that I've met over the last couple weeks at these tech conferences. And that's a great way to get new guests in. And then I've had some guests roll off. So I've had some folks that I've had on before, even a couple times, and I've reached out to them again and said, hey, I'd love to have you on. And they've just said, no, I'm not ready to come on yet. I don't really have that much to say. And, or I'm not in that space anymore, or, you know, some of those kinds of things. So that, have you had multiple guests? You've had repeat. I mean,
I've had some repeat
on the guest, right?
Yeah. The guest adds another complexity to the show. And for the, you know, the fear that I have, as Joe said out there in chat, and is that where you get a guest on, I've got my questions. I always have some questions. It's just more talking points to get me started. And then I generally let the conversation go as how it's going to go. But it's some bullet points there for me to ask questions. My fear is that I'm going to ask a question, the answer that I'm going to get back. So let's say I ask, tell me about how you got in photography and, you know, what all you do. And the answer is, yeah. You know, it's a one-word answer. And I'm thinking, this is going to be a 15-minute show because it's not going to take long. I haven't had that yet. But the other challenge, of course, is one, booking them, and two, them canceling right before the show. You know, those are both risks. In the photographer space, hopefully there's no photographers listening. But, you know, hey, I'm in that group with you, so I'm criticizing myself. Tend to be a little bit more flaky and such, in that I will send. I have a standard thing I send them when I want to invite them on the show, and then once they accept, I have a standard thing I send them. Kind of lays out, hey, do you want to have a pre-show and those kind of things. And so it's questions real simple, not a whole lot of detail because they won't read a long email. It's, do you need help with video or audio? What's your Skype name? Do you want to send me photos for the show, or would you like me to draw them from off your site? And do I have permission to use those photos in the show and in post? And the answer I'll get back is, sounds fun, can't wait. And can't. Well, what about all the questions?
Yeah, no. I sent you a document with all these questions. I actually need you to answer them. Yeah.
So that's one trouble getting through. The other one is that, like you said, no response. And that could be that some photographers are just bad at responding to email, and you're just one email in the flood of email they get, and they just overlook it. Or it could be they're not interested at all. So what I generally do is I'll send out to several people emails saying, I want to have you on the show. And I have a standard form for that that I just –
Mike, can you still hear me? Can you guys out in chat hear me? Mike just locked up on me. Let's see. Sometimes this happens when we're doing this, and I don't know why it does. We'll give it just a sec to see if we can reconnect with Mike. Google is doing its thing. Hopefully, it says it's still broadcasting. So you guys, I think, are still hearing me. Mike will reset and come in, and while he's doing that, I'll talk a little bit about. So Yoda says yes, but Nick says no. Let me make sure that. Oh, he can now. So maybe it was just locked up on this side. We'll see if Mike. He'll recognize as soon as he's done talking. He will. YouTube just died. Interesting. Okay. He hasn't died on my end yet, so I'll keep the recorder going on here just to make sure that we've got some things going on and actually dies. There, mic dropped. So good. Okay. Good. Well, we'll keep going. Mike will come back in here in just a second. You know, with the guest piece, it is he had mentioned that you send this information. Both Mike and I have guest spots on our website. So for me, if you go to theaverageguy.tv/guest. And when he comes back, I'll ask him what his is. But we have some guest instructions that we just put on our site that say, hey, if it's your first timer, although I haven't used mine in a while, I'm fortunate that I don't have guests that that need it a lot of the time. So, but sometimes if you have a rookie guest in there, it's good to send them a guest list. That happens at Gallup all the time where we have rookie guests first time that they are in. And it's one of those things where they need some of that instruction. So let's see if we, Mike, can you hear me? I see Mike back in. So when my, let's see, Mike, I see you now. Can you hear me? He's trying to bring things back up online. So one of those deals where setting up your guest for success is key. I always recommend that you try to interview them at least once before they're on the show. And so it's one of those things where it's helpful. Mike, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but can you hear me?
I can hear you. Do you have a power outage?
Well, that was interesting. Power supply blew up in that machine.
Oh, wow. Well, that's at least you got a backup.
Yeah, so now I'm on my regular broadcast computer, but I don't know what happened there. I'm going to have to go buy a power supply as soon as this is over because my UPS kicked in, but the power supply is dead in that machine.
Did you hear it kind of poof? Did it go up in a puff of smoke?
Yeah, and the lights that I have here, of course, from the from all coming off that same battery. So the battery and the power is good. Computers won't come on at all. So hopefully that's the power supply.
Well, this is a good lesson in podcasting, right? I saw you freeze up, and I always wait just a second because sometimes you come back.
Yeah.
If you're using Google Hangouts, so sometimes just a lockup is real common in Google Hangouts. So I just wait. Then when you stayed frozen, you're like, well, okay, let's just make sure it's me. So I reached out to the chat room. Hey, can you guys still hear me? They're like, yeah, you're still broadcasting. And then I figured, well, something's gone on with Mike, and he'll come back. You know, you're a pro. So I always figured, well, he'll find his way back into the chat room. Fortunately, you're in a situation where you've got multiple computers. This is where it's actually kind of helpful
to
have a backup for these kinds of things. Not everybody can afford that, but to have a backup. Bill had asked in chat, what happened to Dave today? So if you're watching this, you're like, who are these goofballs? So Dave is at WordCamp in Canton, Ohio. He actually just checked in. So if you just came in late, you're just catching us live, you can go back in the video. He joined us from WordCamp and is one of the presenters there, having a good time. It's always fun but stressful to turn the show over to your co-host because you're like, does he have all that? I mean, really, Dave? And I'm going to share kind of the setup that I did because this is way different than most people do. So we'll talk about that here in just a second. But good for Dave. It's often hard to give up your show and turn it over to somebody else, but good for Dave for doing that. So, and Mike, said your lights are on the same – was on the same power supply?
On the same UPS, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, but you know, tell Dave thank you for letting me use his show to wear out my equipment and not having it happen on Tuesday night, which is when we're live. So I know what I'm doing the rest of this afternoon.
Yeah, we had talked about Mike when you were out. I talked about having that guest page on your site. You know, mine's theaverageguy.tv/guest. Do you have a guest one that you use when you? I know you do because you
talking about like a preparation guide.
Yeah, guest prep. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have a Google Doc that I embedded in a page, and I send them that, and I send that link to them for them to go check that out. How many people actually go check it out, I don't know. That's why some of the key points I actually also include in the email I send them. I will say that, you know, just to either wrap that up or continue the conversation, either one, is out of all the guests we've had, I've only had this happen once, and as a fear of mine. But because you don't always get responses from people right away, and because, you know, sometimes they don't respond at all, what I will do is as a guest will come in and they pick a date, is then I send out to everybody who hasn't responded, hey, just wanted to update you on the available dates now open. Because I generally say, here's the dates for our spring and summer season. You know, tell me which one works for you. And, you know, let's say, Jim, you booked the date, but I've asked Dave to come on the show too. I'll email Dave out and, hey, just wanted to give you an update. Here's the available dates that are open now. And it's like one more follow-up to try and get you to now come in and say something to me. I will only do that once or twice, and then I'm going to leave you alone. But if you pick the same date and then Dave turns right around and wants the same date, now I've got to pick one of you to say, no, can you go somewhere else? That happened once, because I don't use any of those schedule ones or any of those kind of calendars like that. I haven't found one I really like, and I've run into that problem just once, fortunately. But it was a guest I really wanted to have on the show.
It's the hassle, you know, if you're going to set your guests up that way, it's one of the drawbacks to it. Yeah. But I find it very helpful to give the guest dates. Don't say, hey, can you make it in June, right? I'll say, like, how's June 18th sound? And I find I get way more people to say yes if I give them a date and time instead of letting them pick. So if they're not available on the 18th, well, then how about the 23rd, right? Are you available on the 23rd? And we just go until we get that kind of locked in. In a lot of cases, right now I'm 6 or 7 weeks out, so that allows me to kind of negotiate with one guest at a time so that I don't run into that problem. So I might be working on getting a guest set. I won't send any other guest invites out until I get that other guest locked in, and then I'll start filling those in. So being 6 or 7 or 8 weeks out on your guest is really helpful. That way, Bill had mentioned in chat that the live link is broken. Yeah, it is. The site. I was going to tell Dave that, but he was having so much fun. I was like, no, I'm not going to tell Dave. His site's down at this point. So, because that's just, he's going to go on in 8 minutes. He was going to go to another talk, and he doesn't, because he'll want to fix it like right then. Not that big of a deal. We'll probably have less viewers today because the live link's broken and people don't necessarily know how to get to everything. But that's okay. They'll go back and listen to the recorded version of it. So lots and lots around the guest there. Mike, I want to share a little bit. We've got about 10 or 15 minutes left. I'm going to share a little bit about the setup that I did today because it's fairly unique in what we're doing. If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I talk about my broadcast server, which is really just another PC that I set aside, and I connect the Google Hangout to it. So it unifies the audio. So like you and I are coming into this third PC, and it's just listening to the conversation, right? So on the speakers of that PC is coming out your and my audio together. This is what allows me to get around a mix minus. So I don't do any mix minuses. In fact, I said to you yesterday or last night, I'm anti-mix minus. And you're like, how can you even say that?
I don't understand why you're anti-mix minus.
Why would you be anti-mix minus? I do find ways. I find Mix Minus a little complicated, and it's especially complicated to run sometimes because you got to turn some knobs on the stuff, and I kind of want it to be all automatic. So this broadcast server concept, it kind of allows me around to get around that. Oh, I should make sure I'm back on the studio thing for Blog Talk Radio because we have another caller. Sorry if you've been listening out there. I flipped over to do something. This happens. This is one of those things when you're not watching that you can miss. So let me come back to that discussion. We have a caller. Let me bring them in. And we'll say, if you are caller 3101, welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach. What's your name and what's your question? Well, they were waiting so long, maybe that they put themselves on mute. 3101, that's your last four. You should be live.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Sorry about that. I did have you on mute there, so my apologies. This is Jason Bates, host of Valley of the Sun Real Estate Show, out here in Phoenix, Arizona. My question is, I have an Alesis Multimix 8 with a USB port, and I do have, I know you guys are talking some tech today, and by the way, you're doing a very good job hosting the show, by the way.
So, oh, thank you.
Good job there. And I have the USB hooked into my Multimix 8 Alesis, and I'm running a compressor in there as well. My question is, can I compress the guests? And I use Google Hangouts a lot, too, for my guests. Can I compress? Because sometimes they have a lot of background noise or their speaker and their computer isn't very good. And you mentioned, you know, having it, buying your own speaker, and that is a little prima donna kind of thing. But is there any way to hook that up to capture that sound through the mixer and compress it? And I use Audacity to record.
Mike, I'll throw that to you
because
you run it through a compressor.
Yeah, I didn't quite hear everything because I'm not on my main system and I have to come off the speakers.
Oh, you are
bouncing the feedback through here. Can you repeat what he said?
Yeah, so I'll just say it. He's looking, so taking your guest and running them through a gate limiter compressor, right, like you do. How do you have it set up?
So what I do is, and I do use Mix Minus, but I also use the left and right channel to separate them. I have my guest computer, the one that just crashed, and I can smell a little smell coming off that now too.
That's not a good thing. That's never a good thing. Do we need to let you go so you can put the fire out?
Well, I don't see flames, so I think I'm safe. I'll wait till afterwards. But I have that feed coming straight from the computer, the card, the audio card, coming into my limiter gate, and I have the DBX 166XS, which is a dual channel one coming in here. So it comes into the back of that. And then it goes off that gate limiter with an XLR connection from there over to my mixer. And so they all come through there. So I can give them a separate gain. I can give them a separate gate. I can set their gate to where it is right for them. And then I have my mic that I'm talking on now, it goes through that gate limiter, and then comes over to the mixer. So we both flow through there. I'm on one channel of the mixer. They're on the other channel. Of the limiter. I'm on one channel. They're on the other channel.
So, but Mike, the key for you is you have a separate PC that they're coming in on, right? So you have a separate piece of equipment. That's kind of the magic that makes it work.
That's the magic that makes it work for me. Yes. Yeah. I guess if you're coming off,
you can't use the sound card of the, because I'm only using one computer.
Yeah.
And I guess it. And I'm not very tech savvy, but there's a sound card on the computer, and then there's a sound card on the mixer. Correct.
There would be, sort of, right? So you have your sound card. The computer sound card is just like what you think it is. When you plug the mixer in as USB, it actually becomes, it looks to the PC, if you're on Windows and Mac too, it looks like it's a sound card, right? It's a separate sound device. So it'll handle both traffic in and out off of your mixer. So when you plug that in, you're actually enabling a second sound card on the PC to make it work. But you're going to have trouble. You need to isolate that guest, right? This is to get them through the gate, to get them to do what you're doing. You want to isolate them.
Right.
If you're doing it on your current PC, you're going to have them and you, and any effects you apply to them is going to get applied to you. So it's super important if you want to do this, you have to physically get them on a different box, bring their sound in differently, and then run that audio and their audio only through that compressor.
Yeah, because Jim, if you are on the one PC, and like we're here now, we're talking, and I took the feed off of my sound card, it would be both of us, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. And anything you're running straight through the mixer, because that mixer becomes, you're running your voice through it. You've really got to isolate your guest off and get them in a, if, think of it like a stream of water. This is whenever I'm thinking about audio, I think about in streams of water. And so this is that one kind of thing. Like today, Mike and I are doing this, and I use this broadcast server concept, and it unifies everybody's audio into a single stream that then goes out to Spreaker and YouTube and some of those other things, where what you want to do here is isolate your guest off before you add them to the rest of the river, isolate them off, process their sound, then use the mixer to bring them into the final mix. So, and that's, then you want to record off your mixer. Right. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I need basically a separate computer and use that Google Hangouts on a separate computer, basically.
Yeah, and you know, here's a cheap way to do it. Use a Chrome, buy one of those Chromebook or Chrome, you know, the little Chrome minis. That's not what they're called. But if you're using Google Hangouts, right, and you're in the browser anyways, buy an inexpensive Chrome device that it's dedicated for your guest's sound, right? And it's going to, you can bring them, open up a Chrome browser, bring them in the Hangout, come the audio off of that into your gate. And they, I think they have little Acer or Asus little Chrome boxes, and I think they're like $149 to $199. So it doesn't have to be a really expensive PC to get it done. You could come off of a you know, the Chrome OS to use it. Have you, are you familiar with that? Have you seen the Chrome, you know, kind of the Chrome books that are out there?
Yes, I have. I have. And you know, the odd thing is when I do like main out or anything like that from my multi mix, I get the sound processed in the mixer or in the compressor limiter gate. But then getting it, when I record it through Audacity, when I hit the compression all the way up, you would think it would, you know, compress the sound, but it doesn't compress the sound in Audacity.
Yeah, so you might have Audacity.
So it does get processed, but it seems,
in a pre.
I know, like so when I set up my XLR in channel one, and then you have your, what is it, the output or the input or whatever, you throw that into your, you know, I have a Behringer 4600. So I throw that into the Behringer, and then it throws it back into the mixer, and then it goes back to Audacity through the USB.
Yeah. So really,
I can't
super
put it up on channel two to do that, for example.
Super hard to troubleshoot on this end of the microphone when I can't actually see it or kind of understand the workflow for it. My advice to you is sit on a piece of paper and physically write out your connections and where things are hitting. So this is a really important. Anytime I'm having an audio problem, I actually write it out on a piece of paper, and I draw it with lines to say, where is this hitting this, right? Because it sounds to me like Audacity may be getting a pre mixed piece of the audio before it goes to the compressor. And so you want to make sure you're catching that on the back side of it. If that's what you want to record, you got to make sure you're catching it on the post side. And so, again, hard for me to know exactly where that is because I can't see your equipment, but map that out and make sure Audacity's in the right place. And the names of your audio connection on your computer are super important. So when you're doing that, actually write down in Windows the physical connection that it's making there. What's the name of it? Because you make sure you get it right. You can have, because the board creates a sound card, you in Audacity, you might be grabbing the board instead of the sound card, or it could be vice versa. You could be grabbing the sound card audio instead of what's coming off the mixer. Now, again, I'm making guesses, but write those things down, and they should follow a flow. And at the end of that flow, Audacity should be there.
Yeah, you know, sound is one of the things that took. Go ahead. Sound is one of the things that took me a while to work through too. You just gotta work through all the connections and see what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody's system's a little bit different, so it took me some time to get all this stuff working. As far as second computers, the way. Of course, now that one of them blew up, it's not necessarily a good example. But the way I've built up this other computers is, since I kind of build my own, or if you buy a new one, your old one that still works, you just need it to work good enough to host Skype or Google Hangout, and you can have it as a second computer to turn it on whenever you need it for the show.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be very powerful at all.
Right.
In most cases. So does that help?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good weekend. All right. Well, hey, Mike, we've got just a few minutes left on this. And as we look, I was talking a little bit about the setup, which kind of dovetails into what he's talking about here. You know, how do I get this audio together? And so we have this separate PC, dovetails in nicely, separate PC. I'm actually running. So I've called into Blog Talk Radio on Skype. So Skype, I bought some Skype minutes. It's like $3 for unlimited U.S. calls, which is super cheap. So I bought the unlimited minutes. I actually called Blog Talk Radio on Skype on this broadcast server. So it's connected to it. When the caller is talking, it's coming out on the speaker port on that computer. And I have this audio jack that goes speaker to microphone. And this Skype and this Google Hangout is then listening on that microphone, right? It's an input into the Hangout that we're having here. It allows that call to come into the Hangout now. So the
90
audio
seconds.
Well, Blog Talk Radio is going to drop off here in just a second, but we'll let it roll. And so the disadvantage, although I could probably mute Blog Talk Radio right now or end the episode so we don't get that to, you know, all we're using it for is the calls. In fact, let's just do that. We'll end it for now as we kind of wrap things up here.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
You're very welcome. Thank you for letting us use Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for Dave for giving me his account. That was the one piece I needed to get from Dave because he's got all the special magic behind it. But and so that call is that sound, the audio of the caller is routed back into the Google Hangout, and our audio is routed into through the Skype call. It's Blog Talk Radio is listening for the microphone port. So it makes this nice little loop, and it's not, you'd think it's going to get, you're going to get some audio feedback, and it doesn't work that way. It's fantastic. And so without mix minus, without anything of those having, in fact, I wish I could hold up my mixer. I fried my mixer. There's nothing hooked into the mixer. I went with a PreSonus USB, an audio box USB, went down to Guitar Center, picked it up for $99 last night. We configured it and made it work. That's how I'm coming through with just an extra PC. So Mike, that's kind of how you and I have chosen. I mean, I use a pretty big mixer and I had a mixer for a while until I spilled water on it, but you don't have to have the mixer to do some of this call-in piece. This is not a bad way to do it. Now that I've done it, it's like, okay, there isn't that hard, you know?
Yeah, once you do it, you know, I mean, this is me. Once I've figured out how all that worked for my setup, you think, why did this take me so long to do it? It seems so simple now. But when you get started and start doing some of that stuff or making changes, it can be complicated and work through. It does help if you have somebody that you can test with, because once you got what you think is working, it's good to test with someone else and make sure they're not hearing some kind of audio feedback or some kind of sound issues that you're not hearing, some kind of popping or cutting in and out or just hearing themselves back if you've done mix minus wrong or whatever fake mix minus that Jim uses.
Well, the fake mix minus. Nicely done. Last night I called you and I'm like, hey, we got to get this thing configured. And it was not the best sounding right out of the chute. And you and I spent about an hour going back and forth, and I turned knobs and tried some stuff. Ended up going actually with this really cool solution. We'll talk about it more in the future here for sure, called Voice Meter. I think Dave's talked about that before. M-E-E-T-E-R, Voice Meter. Kind of a free application, although you can donate, and I'm going to donate because this is really awesome. That's kind of what I'm rolling through on my main PC. That's what allows me to get the music started. So, you know, if we wanted to bring in some final wrap-up music at this point, I'm actually playing that because it's got a virtual audio cable that's grabbing that music and feeding it back into the Hangout and allows me to play that music kind of behind the scenes. And so, Voice Meter, that in the PreSonus worked for me. I'm going to run with it for a little bit and kind of completely eliminate the mixer. And so far, so good. So with that, Mike, we're going to wrap up this part of the show. We'll stay around for a bit about post-show stuff. We try to keep these about 60 minutes. We want to thank you for coming out and listening to our version of Ask the Podcast Coach. Dave will be back next week. Mike Howard, thanks for jumping in here and filling in with me, doing this with me. Tell folks where they would find you if they wanted to know more about you.
The best place is jpeg2raw.com, jpeg2raw.com. It's the best place to find me.
And if you have questions about how you do your vMix and some of that stuff, they can just email you?
Yeah, email me at podcast@jpegtheraw.com.
All right, Very cool. Thanks for putting a bunch of time in this weekend. You were with me last night testing this stuff, and early this morning I just wanted to make sure it all worked.
I like to test.
Yeah, I know. It's fun to learn some new stuff. So we are out here every Saturday morning, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. Normally it's Dave Jackson in the driver's seat. Dave, I'll be glad to have you back next week. I'll be honest, hosting the show is a lot harder than it seems. But we do this every Saturday morning. Your questions, you call in, askthepodcastcoach.com/live most weeks when it's up and working. We'll be back here, Dave and I, next week. Thanks for coming out, and thanks for being a part of the community. We enjoy it, and thanks for the nice words and compliments from you guys today. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me. Bye, guys.